From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, March 24th. I'm Abby Larico. Artists Claude Kahan and Marcel Moore were unlikely Nazi resistors who spread notes meant to undermine German morale.
The German War Tribunal couldn't believe that it was gray-haired little old ladies who were being helped across the street by a Nazi soldier slipping one of these notes into the soldier's pocket.
The story of two women who defied gender norms and art world rules, whose work is now on view at the Contemporary Art Museum. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis police say parents of teens who violated this weekend's curfew should keep an eye on their mail for a court summons. STLPR's Lucretia Wimbley reports.
23 teens between 11 and 17 years old were taken into custody on Friday night for being out after 10 p.m. The curfew was set to prevent violence and disruptive behavior in the downtown and downtown west neighborhoods as the NCAA men's basketball tournament took place. Police spokesman Mitch McCoy says some kids told their parents they were going to a party or to a friend's house, but went downtown instead.
As we hear some of this stuff, we have to share it with parents as well, so that way they can be engaged, because kids can be sneaky.
Police say no teens were taken into custody on Saturday or Sunday. Parents who had to pick their kids up on Friday were cited and could be facing fines or jail time. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
A longtime member of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen is seeking higher office. Shane Cohn of the 3rd Ward has filed paperwork to run for St. Louis Recorder of Deeds. He says he wants the office to do more to help victims of the May 16th tornado and those who may be eligible for government compensation because they were exposed to radiation. Incumbent recorder Michael Butler is not seeking re-election. Three other candidates have also filed for the office. They are Patty Ellison Brown, Anthony Brandon, and Bobby Bailey. If Cohn wins, there will be a special election to fill his seat at the board. Missouri's Department of Revenue is holding off on issuing a tax credit aimed at helping disaster victims recoup their insurance deductibles. STLPR's Jason Rosenbaum reports now some lawmakers want to take legislative action this year to deliver relief.
The Homestead Disaster Tax Credit was included in special session legislation last year to entice professional sports teams to build stadiums. The Department of Revenue is not issuing the credit until a lawsuit over whether the underlying bill contained too many subjects is resolved. Democratic Senator Tracy McCreary of St. Louis County says she will try to repass the tax credit, which could help victims of last year's St. Louis area tornado.
The legislature should be united in making sure the Department of Revenue has clarity on what we intended with that language.
The Homestead Disaster Tax Credit provides up to $5,000 in tax credits for insurance deductibles incurred during certain 2025 disasters. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Opponents of a new Missouri congressional map say they have enough signatures to place the plan up for a statewide referendum. The group People Not Politicians says it surpassed signatures in 6 out of 8 congressional districts to trigger a November 2026 statewide vote. The group made the determination based on preliminary data from Secretary of State Denny Hoskins' office. However, a Hoskins spokeswoman has said the preliminary numbers, quote, should not be interpreted as a final determination regarding petition validity or certification. The new congressional lines passed last year seek to oust Representative Emanuel Cleaver of Kansas City by drawing a map more favorable to Republican candidates. A Cole County judge is weighing whether submitting referendum signatures prevents the new plan from going into effect. The U.S. Supreme Court will soon consider a case related to one of the country's most popular weed killers, Roundup. The outcome could affect thousands of lawsuits that have been filed against Monsanto's parent company. Harvest Public Media's Michael Marks reports.
Some plaintiffs claim that Monsanto, now owned by Bayer, did not adequately warn Roundup users that their product could cause cancer. John Durnell of St. Louis won a judgment against Bayer in 2023, but the company appealed the verdict in the Supreme Court. Will hear the case on April 27th. Aaron Wood, a lawyer in Dallas, says a ruling for Bayer would not extinguish all claims against the company.
If Monsanto prevails, there would be remaining claims of those Roundup plaintiffs. Those would include liability, defective manufacturing claims, negligence claims.
The Department of Justice, the state of Nebraska, and several farm business groups have filed briefs in support of Bayer. I'm Michael Marks, Harvest Public Media.
A tractor trailer that crashed southwest of Rolla has caused quite a stink. It was carrying tofu. The semi wrecked on I-44 in Phelps County on March 1st. Local authorities say no one was hurt in the crash, but 3 weeks later, the crash scene is still there. At least one local resident compared the rotting tofu smell to catfish bait. Missouri Department of Transportation Central District Communications Manager Marsha Johnson says the agency has been coordinating a cleanup.
We are looking at a towing company to coordinate that removal, and it could begin as early as the end of this week. But it is going to be a time-consuming removal and could cause some traffic impacts.
Johnson adds that the cleanup will be slightly more complicated than other operations because the wreck contains food products. I mean, tofu should be pressed, but ugh. An exhibition of rarely seen photos, now on view at the Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis, highlights the story of Claude Cahan and Marcel Moore, two women whose lifelong romance fueled their artistic collaboration. They worked among Parisian surrealists in the 1920s and 30s before launching a quiet campaign against occupying Nazis that earned them a death sentence. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin asked co-curator Dean DiDurco what clues the artist's work can offer about their relationship.
We have an early drawing that they made from 1909. At the top of it are the initials LSM. LS is for Lucy Schwab, which was the birth name of Claude Cahan, and SM are the initials for Suzanne Malherbe, which is the birth name of Marcel Moore. But in French, LSM, or if you pronounce it LZM, means they love each other. They would have been at that time around 15 and 17. And so knowing that they spent the entirety of their lives together and that they also photographed each other for the entirety of their lives is really something quite astonishing.
With fascism on the rise in the 30s, Claude Cahan and Marcel Moore fled Paris for the small British island of Jersey. But it became the only piece of British territory that Nazi Germany occupied during the war. Along with Dean DiDurco, Svetlana Kiddo organized the CAM exhibition.
It's a very small island, so everyone was sort of among one another. What they were doing was trying to create rebellion among German soldiers.
Their house was occupied, and so they were forced to live with Nazi soldiers in their home.
Their idea was these daily little efforts of inscribing messages on small pieces of paper on cigarette packets and slipping them into briefcases and putting them into newspapers and just trying to create the illusion that there was a mutiny happening in the German army to, you know, sow rebellion among the ranks.
And they were very unlikely resistors. The German war tribunal that brought these charges on them couldn't believe that it was these two women who had actually done this. So gray-haired little old ladies who were being helped across the street by a Nazi soldier and perhaps slipping one of these notes into the soldier's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely brave work. They were in jail for the better part of a year. They were actually supposed to go to the gulags for 6 years and then be executed afterwards. And it was only the end of the war that prevented their deaths.
I wonder if I might ask each of you to describe a piece that speaks to you particularly or that you would call someone's attention to.
There's a lot of photographs that were taken on the beach at Jersey. And for me, I'm thinking of one in particular where Claude is nude and has a rope wrapped around her. It was very clear to me that these photographs have an erotic charge. That characteristic of the entire collection of photographs is this very clear intimacy between them.
There is one other work that I'd like
please,
to bring
please.
Up. It's an image of Claude Cahan in the doorway of the home that she shared with Marcel Moore. She has a babushka tied around her head. She's got a long coat on. And she has clenched between her teeth a Nazi soldier's pin. She's kind of smiling, smirking in a way. And she looks like a cat with a mouse.
That's CAM curator Dean Dodurko. He and Svetlana Kiddo organized the exhibition of photos by Claude Kahan and Marcel Moore that's now on view there. They spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.